we just thank you, Father. We are thankful for this day that we can come together in your presence as your children to worship you. A time that we can express our deep appreciation of you and what you've done, provided for our lives. Father in heaven, we affirm our faith in you, the sovereign, the great, the almighty God, the God who has created us and who has redeemed us, the God who has provided for us and kept us, the God who seeks to transform our lives, that more and more we may be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be able to enter into deep fellowship with you, that we may be able to walk in the light and the truth, to be able to be a part of your plan and purposes. Father, we are thankful for your grace, your goodness to us over the years. We thank you for that in many different situations of life, there's much that we can learn from you, there's much that you desire to teach us. We thank you that you have not left us alone. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who dwells in us, who empowers us, guides us to the truth, who shows us the way we should walk. We thank you also for the scriptures, that we can study, reflect, consider the truths that we can come to understand, in order that we may not walk in darkness, but that we may be able to walk in the light of life. We thank you especially for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world to die for our sins. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord, who now lives within us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has overcome Satan and all the powers of darkness at the cross of Calvary. We ask that you will help us more and more also to understand what all these things mean to our lives. For Father, we realize that the spiritual realm is real. And we ask that as we ponder more about the realities in the spiritual realm, and especially the reality of spiritual warfare, we ask that you will help us to gain greater insight into these things and what they mean to our lives. We pray that as we consider these issues, you also protect us and keep us from the evil one. You will not allow the powers of darkness to harass us and disturb us in any way to hinder us from understanding what you have to speak to us. We do pray for your protection. We ask also for your presence in our midst, that you be pleased to be with us and to speak to us. We ask that you help us to be able to concentrate, to be able to appreciate whatever you desire to show to us and to teach us. And we ask that whatever we come to understand, that we may exercise our will to choose to move in that direction. We ask that you will strengthen us and keep us. For we ask and pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 42nd message, on the second major category of situations, the 18th message, the subtopic of the framework within which we work out our lives, the 14th message, and we'll be considering the biblical example of this man Daniel, the man of high esteem, the 12th message. And the previous message, we considered realities in the spiritual realm. We will continue with this subject for today. By particular, we will be concentrating on the subject of spiritual warfare. We've been considering this man Daniel as an example of someone who worked out his life well in a difficult framework, which may appear not conducive for growth and for service, but we saw that Daniel fared very well because he responded well in the situation or the framework in which he found himself. And not only did he develop well inward qualities in his life, but he was able also to contribute very significantly to the main flow for the fulfillment of God's purposes. We considered his contribution through his testimony, through his prayer life, and also the significant revelations through and through him, pertaining to the future, the unfolding of God's plan and God's kingdom. And the last message, we considered the fourth aspect, and that is the life and experiences of Daniel helps us to understand the realities in the spiritual realm of God and other spiritual beings and their influence on the visible realm and the affairs of man. And we saw how this was very evident throughout the book of Daniel. From chapter 1, we traced right through the last chapter, chapter 12. And today, I want to concentrate on an important aspect of the realities in the spiritual realm that was revealed to Daniel, and that is the activities of evil spirits and associated with it, the subject of spiritual warfare. Activities of evil spirits and the subject of spiritual warfare. Let us turn to Daniel chapter 10. We briefly look at this verse, chapter 10, verse 1, in the last message. On the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict. And we saw how this can also be translated, indicated in the margin as conflict, or rather warfare. Conflict or warfare. And we noted how the record that follows indicates two kinds of conflict or warfare conflict at two levels, in the visible realm as well as in the spiritual realm. In our present consideration, we are more concerned with what takes place in the spiritual realm, though there's actually a relationship often between what takes place in the visible realm and what takes place in the spiritual realm, especially events of great significance. Let us look at chapter 10, verses 10 to 13. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. For the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. In these few verses, there was a powerful spiritual being of high status and rank speaking to Daniel, and the last message we discussed that this could very well be the angel Gabriel, and he was sent to Daniel. Verse 10, he says, I've been sent to you. And this was in response to Daniel's prayer in verse 12. It's indicated, I have come in response to your words, to Daniel's prayer. Just an observation here that this is also an indication of Daniel's prayer affecting the spiritual realm. That as Daniel prayed, God sent the angel Gabriel to Daniel. And this actually reflects a very important truth, which at the moment we will not elaborate much, but we will emphasize later. That man through prayer can significantly affect the spiritual realm. Not just the spiritual beings having warfare amongst themselves, but men through prayer can significantly affect the realities in the spiritual realm. But these few verses that we've looked at tells us about warfare in the spiritual realm between powerful good and evil spiritual beings. Between the angel Gabriel, we just assume he's angel Gabriel, although he's not conclusive, as I mentioned, could very well be angel Gabriel. Between the angel Gabriel and the prince of Persia. He mentioned there in verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing near for 21 days. It was a spiritual warfare going on between angel Gabriel and the prince of Persia. And also in verse 20, then he said, "Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia." To fight against the prince of Persia. And also mentioned about the prince of Greece. "So I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come." The prince of Greece, the prince of Persia, this refers to the same category, evil spiritual beings. Two powerful evil spiritual beings, and on the other side, angel Gabriel. But Gabriel was helped by the archangel Michael. We've seen that Michael is an archangel mentioned in Jude. Michael, the archangel, was helping Gabriel in verse 13. The second part of the verse, "Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes," he was one of the chief princes, "came to help me, for I've been left there with the kings of Persia." And then in verse 21, it's mentioned also, "However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces." Against the prince of Greece, the prince of Persia, none. "Except Michael, your prince." So Michael was aiding the angel Gabriel, or a powerful, good spiritual being, waging war against the evil spiritual beings of the princes of Persia and Greece. Such revelations through Daniel about these realities in the spiritual realm can be very helpful for believers who desire to live well and to contribute effectively to the building of God's kingdom. And it's helpful for us to ponder over the implications of these things for our lives. From what was revealed to Daniel, together with revelation in other parts of scriptures, especially the New Testament, and also personal experiences, it's possible for believers to come to a much clearer understanding of the powers of darkness and activities, and how to counter and overcome them. I mentioned also personal experiences because understanding of these things, a very important aspect also has to do with personal experiences of the realities in the spiritual realm. This aspect is important, but it's very important that we need to properly understand personal experiences, and especially how to interpret them in the light of scriptures, to be able to be accurate in understanding the experiences. Because experiences, though important, essential, in this realm, we can be easily deceived and confused and interpret wrongly, leading to many complications and difficulties for our lives. So understanding of the scriptures and scriptural teaching and revelation on these issues are very important, so that you'll be able to properly understand our personal experiences. I want to now make some brief observations. I say brief observations because I intend just to make some general remarks without going into details. For the first observation, is that there are different kinds of evil spirits working in different ways. There are different kinds of evil spirits working in different ways, of different power, rank, and status. we are not all the same. There are different kinds of evil spirits. They working in different ways of different power, rank, and status. With Satan as their leader, whom the Lord Jesus referred to as the ruler of this world. Perhaps we need not turn to it. Many of us will be familiar with this, but I'll just give you two references. John chapter 12, verse 31, and chapter 14, verse 30. Lord Jesus referred to Satan as the ruler of this world. And perhaps we can compare this with what was revealed to Daniel about the princes of Persia and Greece. The princes of Persia and Greece are two powerful evil spirits, but they are referred to as prince of Persia and prince of Greece. It's more limited, but still of a high ranking, associated with the whole nation of Persia and the other Greece. But Satan is referred to as the ruler of this world. The scope of his influence, his concentration, his operation involves the whole world. And Paul referred to Satan as the god of this world, or god of this age, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, and also as the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. Prince of the power of the air, again, it is not limited to a particular region or particular specific sphere of operation alone. And the god of this world, or god of this age, is more wide-ranging. Satan as their leader. Elaborate on the different kinds of evil spirits working in different ways. I'll give some examples. A. Some evil spirits are more involved in causing various physical afflictions and ailments. And there are various scriptural examples that we can find in the Gospel and the Acts. I'll not go into detail here, but I just want to highlight two examples that are interesting to look at and can be helpful. First, we look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. After the transfiguration, the Lord Jesus went down with the three disciples, and there was a crowd, and there was this man with his son who was possessed by a spirit. Verse 17. And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute." So this evil spirit makes the son mute. Mute means deaf and dumb. And then we find that the Lord Jesus actually addressed this evil spirit as deaf and dumb spirit. Verse 25. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, this evil spirit was causing this man's son to be mute, that is deaf and dumb. He says, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." So this is evil spirit addressed by the Lord Jesus, deaf and dumb spirit, and causing deafness and dumbness in this man's son. On another occasion, the Lord Jesus was described as casting out a dumb spirit that was causing dumbness. Luke chapter 11. Verse 14. "And he was casting out a demon, and it was dumb. And it came about that when the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke, and the multitudes marveled." Jesus was casting out a demon, and this demon was dumb. "And it came about when the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke, In other words, the dumbness of the man was caused by this demon who was dumb. You can compare this also, this point about how some evil spirits are more associated with or more involved in certain kinds of activity. If you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. This is the incident of the slave girl who was having a spirit of divination. So this particular spirit is described as a spirit of divination. Let's read chapter 16 of Acts, verse 16. What Paul experienced. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. So this slave girl had an evil spirit within her, and this evil spirit was described as a spirit of divination. And this evil spirit, the activity was associated with fortune telling. So there are some evil spirits more involved, more associated with this kind of activities. And there's such an evil spirit known as spirit of divination, associated with fortune telling. D, I'm just giving some broad categories without going into many detailed examples. There are also evil spirits which promote wrongful desires, attitudes, and ways. Evil spirits which promote wrongful desires, attitudes, and ways amongst men. Like, for example, promoting pride, jealousy and strife, bitterness, hatred, violence, lust, and greed. It's helpful for us to be aware that the evil spirit is promoting all these things, so that at times when we experience various of these areas, we may also bear in mind that they are promoting these undesirable attitudes and wrongful desires within us, and to know how to reject their influences upon our lives and not move in that direction that they desire of us. James chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. James chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. James says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic." James talks about bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, and then he says, in your heart. And I thought this is also a helpful point to take note of, that they seek to influence the direction of our heart. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, arrogance. These are some examples, but not limited just to these areas. And then James says, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. That means these traits are not what God desires to promote within us, to draw forth from our lives, to nurture within us. Not God desires us to develop, but rather it's earthly, it's natural, it's demonic. Natural, if you look at the margin of the New American Standard Bible, also this unspiritual. natural or unspiritual. It's not of a positive nature, and then it says this word, demonic. Demonic. The natural or unspiritual is linked to this posture or attitude within us, in our hearts, whereby we are moving on our own apart from God, associated with self-life. And the powers of darkness takes advantage of us in these areas and promoting various wrongful desires, attitudes and ways. So it can be pride, bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. It can promote jealousy and strife in various forms of wrong attitudes and desires and ways. Verse 16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." And that is what the powers of darkness want to promote. Jealousy, selfish ambition, and also leading to disorder and all sorts of evil things by promoting evil desires, attitudes, and ways. Working within our hearts, resulting in ways that are harmful, hurting, that are contrary to the direction of God's kingdom. See, there are also evil spirits promoting wrong doctrines, wrong teaching, misconceptions, deception, confusion, dissension. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Paul mentions to Timothy, about the work of evil spirits. And he says, "But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." So there are evil spirits which promote wrong doctrines and also deceitful spirits, deceiving God's people as well as non-believers, causing various misconceptions. Evil spirits that seek to promote all kinds of confusion and problems for men. Second observation, it's helpful to recognize that the evil one, Satan, as their leader, he has his strategies and schemes. Paul mentions about this in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, about not being ignorant of his schemes or designs. His schemes, his designs, his plots, his strategies. That the evil one is able to think, to plan, to scheme. He has this capability, and he tries to plan and to coordinate the activities of the powers of darkness. Because he's the ruler of this world, his ambit, his scope of influence, his goals, his intentions cover the whole world, and he tries to plan and to coordinate the activities of the powers of darkness, because they may not necessarily always be fully cooperative with him, because these evil spirits are not just forces of darkness in the sense of just mere force, but they have a distinct personality of their own, and they do often cooperate with the powers of darkness. But to what degree they cooperate with him need not always be the same. But he tries to plan and coordinate the activities of the powers of darkness to promote darkness and evil. And one major scheme, strategy, or goal that he desires, the evil one, is to oppose the plans and the purposes of God. And this is very clearly revealed throughout the scriptures. And the evil one seeks to do so in various ways and at different levels. But it's helpful to recognize that he does plan and scheme, and his strategies and designs. I mentioned in various ways and also at different levels. I'll briefly mention a few levels. A, the lives of individuals. Basically, to lead individuals away from God, for those who do not yet know God, to continue to blind them and to help and to cause them to be gripped by the things of the world, by and sin, and not to come to God. And for believers, to try to draw them away from God and from truth. There's one basic aspect he seeks to do, but at this level, individuals, to draw men away from God and from truth, and instead to move them in a direction of darkness, of spiritual death, of bondage, of destruction. But the powers of that, the evil one does scheme also to work at another level, B, to achieve the similar goals. They attack groups and congregations, not just at individual level, but also with strategies involving whole groups and congregations to cause all kinds of problems, confusion, and dissension. One major area of attack is to cause disunity amongst God's people. And whole congregations can be significantly affected, or if he can attain his goal, he wishes to nullify the whole congregation or to lead them completely astray, for example through deceptions or through wrong teaching. Another way he seeks to do this is by leading them, the congregation, to move in a direction whereby the emphasis is not sound. Wrong emphasis, not in line with scriptural emphasis. In a direction that is not the emphasis of scriptures, so that the congregation is not able to function effectively, or the whole approach adopted, and also their practices, leading to practices of the congregation which affects the individual members of the congregation. If you ponder about this, you realize that there are many different ways that he can do so to attack congregations, including drawing them in the direction of the world and what the world can offer, or causing them to be gripped in various areas of sin so that they are not able to experience deeply the life and power of God. But I want now to pay a little more attention to the third level, C, in the affairs of nations, because this is one area that is not so much talked about. Also in the affairs of nations. And whole nations can be in spiritual bondage and darkness. When I say whole nations, I mean generally, but often this is not absolute. There can still be individuals who are not in such bondage. The whole nations generally can be in spiritual bondage and darkness, gripped by superstitions and false beliefs. There's one very significant manner of operation on the whole nation. But another major area is through worldly philosophies. And those who are influenced in these ways may not even realize that the powers of darkness are operating. various humanistic philosophies, so-called humanistic philosophies, because basically it centers on man, and some even appear to be quite attractive because they seem to be quite idealistic to promote the welfare of man. But basically, centering on man, but apart from God. According to man's worldly wisdom, various worldly philosophies, and also various ideologies which can grip whole nations. Worldly philosophies and ideologies which hinder men from coming to God. And some of these ideologies are at the very core center of it, very much in opposition to the central truths of the scriptures and the reality of God. And so when nations are gripped by these philosophies and ideologies, men can be significantly hindered from coming to God. Besides this, the powers of darkness and the strategy of the evil one, Satan, also seeks to promote various negative trends in society. Now it's not just attacking individuals, but we seek to promote negative trends in society. And this is also a very serious matter. Various negative trends that are moving in direction opposite to light and truth. For example, to move society, whole large groups of people, in the direction of sensuality, promiscuity, and drugs. Sensuality is closely linked to the indulgence of the desires of the flesh. Sensuality is closely linked also to promiscuity and drugs. These three areas are actually quite closely related. You find that those who take drugs often are also associated with all kinds of sensual desires and practices. And the evil one seeks to promote such trends in society. Because those who are involved in these ways, in these things, will be very effectively hindered from coming to God. And another major aspect that they seek to promote is materialism, for people to concentrate upon and to be gripped by material things, as if life consists of not just clothes and material things, not just clothes and food, but also all kinds of material things. But basically that's what life is all about, material things. And sometimes all these things that are going on can be disguised under such notions as freedom and being liberated. For example, all kinds of sensuous practices. It can be disguised under such notions as you are liberated, you can feel free to do what you want. This is liberation, this is freedom, free from inhibitions. And this is being open-minded. And such practices are also progressive rather than being backward, and in many contexts opposite to this would be termed conservative, and conservative has a connotation that you are backward and that you are not progressive, is something no good. And these are the kinds of notions and attitudes and ways that the evil one will seek to promote, that man may be deceived and hide under these notions. But actually the truth, as Lord Jesus tells us very clearly, that people indulging in these things are actually slaves. Not free, but slaves, because they are slaves to sin. They become gripped by these areas, by these things that incur the wrath of God. Often such trends, notions, and directions are also associated with the power of darkness trying to encourage people to just move as their feelings dictate. Whatever they're inclined to, whatever they feel, just let go. Anything goes. Just move according to the inclinations, the feelings, and the emotions. And this often move in the direction of sin and lack of self-control. Also, one effective means by which the powers of darkness and the evil one seek to attain their goal in the affairs of the nation is through influencing the governing authorities and their policies. This is one effective means by which they seek to achieve their end, their goal, which involves the whole nation by influencing the governing authorities and the policies that are adopted. Now, if you look at Daniel chapter 10, we see indication of the activities in this direction. Because here we notice the prince of the kingdom of Persia and the prince of Greece. And if you reflect upon it, it's likely that these destinations, prince of Persia, prince of Greece, they are designated such because of their influence over the affairs of these nations. They exercise influence over the affairs of these nations in the direction of evil, and they have an influence that extends over the whole nation and also their objectives. Not just directed at individuals, but their strategy, their schemes, the whole way of operation is intended to cover the whole direction of the nation. And one way that they go about doing it is to influence the governing authorities. Now, in those days, they have kings. And if you notice here in verse 13 of Daniel chapter 10, mentions about the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. This good spiritual being, that could be Gabriel as we mentioned, he was opposing the evil spiritual being, and he mentions here, I have been left there with the kings of Persia to counter the work of this prince of Persia. Chapter 11 verse 1, likewise, it says, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I arose to be an encouragement and a protection for him. Because Darius, the king of the Persian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and his actions, his policies, would significantly affect the whole nation. And that is one major way by which the powers of darkness seek to influence the affairs of the nation. And Michael, the angel, and Gabriel, they seek to counter it. The importance of this issue is also indicated by Paul, which at times we may not interpret in this direction or realize it functioning in this with such implications. But this reflected by what Paul mentions in 1 Timothy chapter 2 when he urged us to pray for the governing authorities. Let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, and this is one of those passages where Paul is talking about prayer, the importance of prayer. So he says, first of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. The importance of prayers and petition, first of all, on behalf of all men. Generally, the concern, our concern in prayer should extend to all men. And then Paul highlights a special category of people. Verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority. Now what kind of authority? Though authority can at times be for spiritual authority, but in this context, it's quite clear that it's more linked to governing authorities over the nations. For kings and all who are in authority, because he links this to, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So this is a significant area. Kings and all who are in governing authority. And this has a bearing. The governing authorities and how they go about governing the nation have a bearing on the people. And Paul mentions about quiet life. It's helpful to appreciate what Paul mentions here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 about praying for kings and all in authority. If we consider this together with what the powers of darkness are seeking to do, as they seek to influence whole nations in the direction of darkness, one major way in which they seek to do it is by influencing the governing authorities and the policies. And I mentioned just now about the Prince of Greece and the Prince of Persia. You can look at it this way, that the powers of darkness, they actually have powerful evil spirits in charge of their goals in this way, and they are designated as princes, princes of Persia, princes of Greece. And Paul mentions, he carries on in verse 3, he says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The prayer in this direction is important so that we can live out our lives in quiet, our lives lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And this is linked to God's desire for men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because the powers of darkness, when they operate in this way, and if they can influence the powers of darkness, or if they can influence the government authorities to adopt measures that can make it difficult either for God's people or for people to come to the knowledge of the truth, then this can hinder men from salvation, from coming to the knowledge of the truth. So good government is something that Christians appreciate, and proper for us to pray in the direction of good government and to counter the powers of darkness and what they seek to do in the opposite direction. Third observation, following from what we have considered so far, we can see that there is much scope and potential for clearer and deeper understanding and insight into these things. I just mentioned some general remarks without going into detail, but I want to emphasize that there's actually much scope and potential for clearer and deeper understanding and insight into these things and the activities of the powers of darkness, including understanding how to counter and to overcome them effectively. I've not gone into these things in any detail at all, and it's not my intention in this message to do so. But the main point I want to put across is that there is much scope and potential in these areas. To understand how to counter and overcome them effectively at a personal level, in church life, and also in the context of building God's kingdom. That this is a very important area for us to understand and be effective in. But we need to be ready. And this is the point I want to emphasize, a very important point for us to bear in mind. Are we ready to enter into a deeper understanding inside these things and to be properly involved, effectively involved? At what level can we be involved? At what depth? Are we ready? Because getting too involved beyond what you are ready for can result in very serious problems and negative effects for the individual and even for the congregation as a whole. Here, I explain. If the individual is not ready and he seeks to understand as well as to enter into and to get involved in spiritual warfare that he's not ready for, he can get into serious problems. But not only at the individual level, if the congregation is not careful and the congregation is not ready to be involved in that depth and seeks to do so, the whole congregation can also come under serious spiritual pressures from the powers of darkness that is not able to withstand and cope with, and also get into serious problems and suffer various negative effects. That is, we need to constantly remember the important principle that the degree of involvement should commensurate with our stage of development, whether we're at a personal level or at a congregation level. But the Lord desires us to move in the direction of deep involvement and great effectiveness. But are we ready? And we must have that direction to become more and more ready, more and more able to fight a good fight at a personal level and together as a congregation. And this is the main burden in my heart in this message, that we must be deeply gripped by the significance of the issues and our need to be ready and to move in that direction. Otherwise, we may be involved in doing many things but having very little impact. The stage of our development includes the spiritual stature and maturity, whether at the individual level, and also the other is the corporate level. And even trying to know too much about the powers of darkness, there is such a thing as trying to know too much about the powers of darkness. Not to talk about direct involvement in spiritual warfare, even trying to know too much about the powers of darkness and their activities without adequate corresponding positive development in other aspects of our overall spiritual development is not advisable and can also lead to spiritual difficulties. In other words, what I'm saying is that direct involvement can be dangerous, is dangerous if you are not ready, but not just involvement, but even understanding, trying to understand. There is such a thing as trying to understand too much for various aspects of the activities of the powers of darkness when there isn't adequate corresponding positive development in other aspects of our overall spiritual development. This is not advisable. We need to move together in a wholesome way. Various aspects of our life need to develop well, and together with it, increasing understanding of the realities in the spiritual realm of God, and then also the powers of darkness and their operation and how to counter them. Fourth observation, after considering the powers of darkness, we also need to understand that God has His own army and ways of dealing with these forces of darkness and exercising His sovereignty over the affairs of men and nations. God has His own army and His own ways of dealing with these forces of darkness and exercising His sovereignty over the affairs of men and nations. For example, in Daniel chapter 10, look at Daniel chapter 10 again. Chapter 10 verse 13. Together with the mention of this prince of the kingdom of Persia, there's this mention of this powerful, high-ranking, good spiritual being withstanding the prince of opposing this prince of Persia. And then also mentioning Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So God also, God has his own army and ways of dealing with these forces of darkness. Verse 21 mentions about the fight with the prince of Persia. Prince of Greece is coming, then Michael is helping Angel Gabriel, or the powerful good spiritual being. So God has his ways, his army. And chapter 11 verse 1, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I arose to be encouragement and a protection for him, because Darius the king of Persian Empire, and there's also this powerful spiritual being, the encouragement and the protection for him. But I want, beyond talking about these good spiritual beings, to emphasize that believers can have a part in spiritual warfare. But not only can have a part, that actually it is God's intention that believers have a significant part, a vital aspect of effective contribution to the fulfillment of God's purposes. This is God's intention. The believers should have a significant part. And later we'll consider the very wonderful provisions that God has made that this can be so. But it's God's intention that we have a significant part, and that this is a vital aspect of effective contribution to the fulfillment of God's purposes, not just leaving it to the good spiritual beings and their activities. But, unfortunately, believers generally have little true understanding of these things. But not only little true understanding, but also lacking in the spiritual stature, knowledge and foundation to fight a good fight. Believers generally have little true understanding of these things, nor the spiritual stature, knowledge and foundation to fight a good fight. And this includes even those who are mistakenly think that they may know a lot. Sometimes believers may mistakenly think they know quite a lot, because either of some dramatic experiences they've gone through, or having accumulated some great knowledge, or having listened to some messages, after reading some books. Sometimes believers may think that we already know a lot. But in reality, there is significant lack of spiritual foundation and knowledge, true knowledge of these things. True knowledge of these things has two aspects to it. One has to do with, as I mentioned, sometimes you may come across certain concepts, ideas, hear about them, read about them, and we think we know. But the problem can lie in two directions. One, whether what we think we come to know, is it sound and accurate? Is it true knowledge? Then the other is, even if it is sound, have we truly entered into the realities of these things? Have we really gained insight? Or are they just some concepts and ideas in our minds? What is the depth of our appreciation of these things? To support the point that of God's intention for us to have a significant part in spiritual warfare, and also that it's a vital aspect of effective contribution to the fulfillment of God's purposes, we can turn to a familiar passage of what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, just emphasizing verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Paul says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And if you ponder over the book of Ephesians, you realize that Ephesians goes into great depth about God's eternal purposes and how God desires to accomplish it, about the mystery, about the role of the church. And coming to the end of this epistle, Paul says, and finally, be strong in the Lord, the strength of his mind, putting on the full armor. And then he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, and this is with the powers of darkness. The rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This does not mean that effective Christian living and building God's kingdom is solely concentrated or only involved this area. But Paul is emphasizing in this way to highlight to us that this is an important area. It is an important area. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the forces of darkness. That this is a significant area if we want to be really effective in cooperating with God in building of God's kingdom. There will be this struggle that needs to take place, and we must be ready. We must learn how to be able to fight a good fight. The description here also talks about rulers, their power, and the way they extend their influence and their power. Then this power is again emphasized by the next word, against the powers. So the four darkness are described in this way, that against the world forces of this darkness, that their influences, their influence, their envy extends to the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, emphasizing to us the spiritual nature of it. Spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places, that the battle is not just in the realm of the visible. We need to take note of the battle in the spiritual realm. So then some important points to note. You want to consider and some concluding remarks, although they may take a little while. There are some important points then to note. First of all, first point, that going from our considerations and what Paul mentions here in Ephesians 6, that God, to realize that God's kingdom basically is of a spiritual nature, and that there is significant spiritual opposition by the forces of darkness with Satan as their head or their leader. We must take note of this point. But not just this, but to realize that they do so, and one major aspect of doing so is by taking advantage of and exploiting the weaknesses and evil desires of men. And this is a very important point to take note of. Not just to concentrate on them and the evil power and what they are doing on their own, but a major way they seek to accomplish their evil goals has to do with taking advantage of and exploiting the weaknesses and evil desires of men. This we need to take note of for our own lives as well as in our concern for others. And that means we need to take note of this point about men's moral responsibility in hindering progress in God's kingdom. I emphasize this because in our talking about the powers of darkness and what we've been doing, sometimes when we concentrate on this subject, we may then wrongly attribute it all to the forces of darkness. But we need to recognize, remember, man's moral responsibility in failure to respond well to God or whatever hindrances there are in the progress in God's kingdom. But the powers of darkness are actively at work. They take advantage, they exploit. And we have to learn how to fight a good fight in this area. But not just concentrating on them and thinking that it's all due to them. No. We want to help men to really walk well with God. We need to help men to love the truth, to love the Lord, to exercise their will, to choose what is good, and not just think in terms of spiritual warfare and trying to overcome the forces of darkness. Or likewise, our own failures, we cannot just attribute it to the forces of darkness. By what way we have allowed our lives to be manipulated by, to be exploited by, to be taken advantage of by the powers of darkness. Second point, making progress in God's work does involve countering and overcoming the spiritual opposition and activities of the powers of darkness, including the lives of individuals as well as nations, and also God's work generally. Though, as I mentioned, this is not the only issue in effective service, but in a desire to serve the Lord well, you have to bear in mind this. It does involve the countering and overcoming of the spiritual forces of darkness, but this is not an easy thing, especially if we want to be really effective. And this leads me to the third point in these concluding remarks, that we must recognize the very crucial need to be properly equipped for spiritual battle. It's very important to be properly equipped. Not just recognize the spiritual battle and you want to be involved in it, we must be properly equipped. Notice Paul introduces this subject in verse 10 in this way. Finally, before he goes on to our spiritual warfare, he says, be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And then he goes on to elaborate, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. To be able to stand firm so you won't easily waver, you won't collapse when you enter into the battle. You must be strong in the Lord. You must put on the whole armor of God. And we'll talk about this in time in other occasions. The putting on the whole armor of God has to do with primarily with inward development. Development of our lives grounded in the truth. Development inward qualities of truth, righteousness, faith. Primarily our development in the Lord, in the truth. And the development of good qualities, character. To properly be properly equipped. As Paul mentions in the full armor of God, he mentions about the loins being girded with truth, about the breastplate of righteousness, and about the readiness of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. Another aspect that is very important is to know the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. First, experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit, not just the fullness of the Spirit, but also the Spirit transforming our lives, and then through our lives, to serve in the power of the Spirit, and especially to understand, when we talk about spiritual battles, how to move the sword of the Spirit through prayer in an effective way. The Holy Spirit is actually God Almighty. There's infinite power. But that doesn't mean when we pray, the power that comes forth will always be the same. How we pray, the readiness of our lives, the maturity, we've talked about this before in prayer, the foundation of our lives is very critical and has a direct bearing on the effectiveness of prayer. To what degree are we then able to move the sword of the Spirit in an effective way? Overcome the forces of darkness. So Paul talks about the sword of the Spirit and link this in Ephesians chapter 6. After mentioning about the sword of the Spirit, who is the word of God, in verse 17, he links this with prayer. Prayer and petition, pray at all times, alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and also for praying for the Lord's work and people who serve the Lord like the Apostle Paul. Prayer, a very important part. But readiness, ability to pray effectively. Now it's in this context, in such a context of such development, when there is such a context, then understanding the powers of darkness and their activities and how to counter and overcome them can become very helpful. In other words, when we are ready. If we are ready, the more we move in the direction, then the more so it would be. As we begin to understand more the powers of darkness and how they operate, how to counter and to overcome them, such knowledge can then become very helpful. But if we are not ready, then we will not be able to fight a good fight. The fourth point, we should take note of is what I mentioned earlier about how in God's plan, believers are entrusted with a significant role in countering the forces of darkness. But not just that, I now want to emphasize, linked to this, that because in God's plan, believers are intended to have a significant role in countering the forces of darkness, God has made provisions for us to be potentially very effective in this task. And the provisions God has made for us in this area also helps us to recognize that He intends us to have a significant role. As I elaborate, I think this will become clear. The kind of provisions God has made for us is also an indication for the kind of role He intends for us to fulfill in the countering and overcoming of the forces of darkness. A and B are closely related. And these are the two aspects I want to emphasize. A, the Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer. The Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer. As far as we understand the scriptures, there's no indication that this is true of any other being in creation. Not even the angels. As far as we know, only believers, only children of God, have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Yes, the angels, we've seen they are powerful spiritual beings, which are good, powerful spiritual beings. But, as far as we know, they are different from us. The Holy Spirit is not dwelling in them. Now, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, if we reflect upon it, we will realize the infinite potential in the life of the believer. And this is even more so after Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean before Pentecost, Holy Spirit is not working. We see very clearly, Holy Spirit, for example, working in the life of Daniel. But even more so after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in God's plan, He intends, and you'll see, after it's not just the believer, but the whole congregation, church life. So especially after Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, believers can be filled, empowered, guided, and taught by the Holy Spirit to fight a good fight. I say can be, because that is what God intends and it's possible. But we may not be operating or living in that way. We can be filled, empowered, guided, and taught by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to fight a good fight. And the Spirit fills us, empowers us, guides us, teaches us, surely we can fight a good fight. Potentially, there's more than sufficient resources. I'm using this term reverentially. God has resources in the sense of what God has provided to overcome any and all spiritual opposition. Because greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world. In fact, we know that God is infinitely more powerful than the evil spirits. And God desires to work through us. And not just teaching us how to go about it, but the Spirit Himself fills us, empowers us to fight this fight. Related to this truth, D is the reality of our union with the risen, triumphant Lord. The scriptures clearly teach us that we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are united with this risen, triumphant Lord who has already overcome Satan and all the powers of darkness at the cross of Calvary. We see this in Colossians 2 verse 15. We can look at it. We are familiar with it. And also, we know that the head of Satan has been bruised or crushed by the seed of the woman, as predicted in Genesis 3 verse 15. The head of Satan has been bruised or crushed by the seed of the woman, fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ when He triumphed over Satan, the power of darkness, at the cross of Calvary. And as we abide in Him and He in us, we know that there's very great potential in and through our lives. As the scriptures tells us, that we can be more than conquerors through Him who loves us. And again in relation to this point, there is no indication of any other being in creation who enjoys this rarity. He in us and we in Him. As Paul puts it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. At the very heart of God's plan and purposes, and to fulfill it, Christ in you, the hope of glory, at the heart of the mystery, how God intends to fulfill His purposes. But we know that this is not just for overcoming the forces of darkness, but also the development of our lives and the kind of quality that we can develop within, as well as the kind of relationship we can then have with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's very great potential in our lives. We can be more than conquerors through Him who loves us, and we need to note this personally, and even greater potential in the proper outworking of church life. There is very great potential in this area, the proper outworking of church life. And I would tend to think that this would be one aspect, the meaning or implication in Ephesians 3, verses 9 and 10, that Paul talks about. Let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 9 and 10. In this context, Paul is talking about the mystery and the eternal purpose of God, which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he mentions in verse 9 about his ministry, which he began in verse 11, how to him, the very least of all sin, His grace is given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, verse 9, to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul mentions how in the fulfillment or working of God's purposes, he talks about the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. Now this has various aspects of meaning and implications. There's very much, many different angles of God's manifold wisdom that can be appreciated through effective outworking of church life. But I would see that the potential in church life, in effective spiritual warfare, would be one aspect of this meaning and implication in these verses. The manifold wisdom of God being made known through church life, where believers understand, have grown, and able to function effectively together, overcoming the forces of darkness, manifesting the wisdom of God, that through frail human beings He can accomplishes His purposes, including overcoming the forces of darkness through the Spirit dwelling within us, empowering us through our union with the risen triumphant Lord. And the wisdom of God being made known through the church, including to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. The spiritual beings appreciating, recognizing, taking note of this point. So the potential is there, and God can always lead us in triumph in Christ Jesus. But we must grow and move in that direction. I emphasize it's now about the very great potential and what is in God's heart. But we must move in that direction. It doesn't just take place automatically. There is much for us to learn and to attain, but there is very much that can be accomplished. But we must be willing to do our part, fulfill our part. The provisions are there, but we must do our part. It requires diligence, discipline, good attitudes, and especially the need to lay a good and a strong foundation, including the moral and spiritual developments, well grounded in the truth, the deep knowledge of God and His ways. And in order to attain to the positive developments of our lives, we must also deal with the negative areas, the weaknesses in our lives. And this also has another aspect that's important in spiritual warfare, so that we leave no place, no opportunity, no ground for the powers of darkness to operate. But rather, as we remove the weaknesses, the deficiencies of our lives, that God may then have full freedom to work deeply in and through our lives. Let us remove the hindrances that hinder God from working deeply in our lives, but also bear in mind that where these weaknesses remain, then we become very vulnerable to the attacks of the powers of darkness. So we need to have a very strong sense of direction, the kind of potential that is possible, and seek to move well in that direction, that we may be able to be faithful to God and carry out what He has entrusted to His people. Otherwise, we may make attempts to do many things, very involved in many things, many activities, but there's very little impact, superficial impact, because our lives are superficial. And this is actually the root problem of believers and God's work generally, superficial lives. And this is the point that we must take note of. Superficial lives, so that we are not able to enter deeply into fellowship with God and a deep experience of the life and the power of God. And as a result, we are not able to accomplish much, including not able to overcome the spiritual opposition, spiritual forces of darkness in any effective way or in an effective manner. But instead, we are easily tossed to and fro, not just by wrong doctrines, but also easily overcome by the obstacles put forth by the evil one, or the pressures that come from him and the wiles of the evil one. We will pause here for today. In summary of what we covered today, I want to emphasize that one main concern that we should take note of for today is that spiritual warfare in the existence of the powers of darkness is not only a very real thing, but also the powers of darkness work in many different ways. And there's very much in this area that we can gain understanding of. There's very much more that we can grasp, attain insight into, that can be very helpful for us to fight a good fight and to live a life really effective for God. But we must be ready. We must equip ourselves so that we are able more and more to move in the direction whereby seeking to understand these things can become really helpful for us, and will go beyond understanding but the actual application and ability to counter and to overcome the forces of darkness in operation in many different ways in this world that hinder the progress in God's kingdom. So we see in the book of Daniel how in chapter 10 talks about the revelation to him of a great conflict or warfare, and we see that there is warfare not only at the physical level in affairs of this world, but also in the spiritual realm. And we see these powerful, evil spiritual beings, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, but also being opposed by God's army, God has His own powerful spiritual beings also to counter these evil spirits. And these evil forces are probably designated such as Prince of Greece, Prince of Persia, because they exercise influence over the affairs of nations. And it's helpful for us to understand that there are different kinds of evil spirits working in different ways of different power, rank and status. Satan is their leader, the ruler of this world. They are princes over the nations, evil spirits. But there are also various other evil spirits, some more involved in causing various physical ailments and afflictions, some promoting wrongful desires, attitudes and ways, working in our hearts to promote jealousy, pride, strife, bitterness, greed. Others promoting wrong doctrines, deception, confusion, misconceptions. And to recognize that the evil one has his strategies and his schemes, not just in the lives of individuals, but also to achieve his goal by destroying groups and congregations, leading them astray, nullifying lives of believers in outworking in church life or in congregations, and also working in the affairs of nations, so that whole nations can be in the grip of spiritual bondage and darkness, various trends in society, opposite of the direction of truth and light, sensuality, promiscuity, materialism, and also seeking to influence the governing authorities, the policies, and the need for believers to pray for the governing authorities. So there's much scope and potential for clearer, deeper understanding, insight into these things and the activities of the powers of darkness and how to counter and overcome them as we seek to build God's kingdom. But we need to equip ourselves so that we will not become involved beyond what we are ready for, or even seek to understand, to know many things about the power of darkness which we are not able to cope with, which leads to spiritual difficulties, deception, complications in our lives. So it's important for us to move in the direction of deep involvement, but this must take place commensurate with our positive development of our lives in every aspect. So God had His own army and ways of dealing with the forces of darkness, including mighty spiritual beings like Michael, Gabriel. But it is God's intention that believers have a significant and vital part in overcoming the forces of darkness as an integral part of our contribution to the fulfillment of God's purposes. But we need to recognize the importance of being fully ready, especially laying a strong and good foundation in our lives. As we seek to do so, let us remember that God has indicated His desire for us to have a significant role, because He has made great provisions for us to be able to fight a good fight. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us, filling us, empowering us, guiding us, teaching us, as well as our union with the risen, triumphant Lord. So let us reflect on these things and ask the Lord to help us appreciate in a deeper way our need to move in the direction of God's call, to be properly equipped so that we are able to fight a good fight, to realize the full potentials within our lives, in accordance with God's design, that the manifold wisdom of God may be manifested in many different ways, including the overcoming of the forces of darkness. Let's consider whether we have a strong sense of direction for our lives. Do we see clearly the significance of the issues involved and the urgency, the importance of our being well grounded in the law and the truth, to be able to fight a good fight so that we can contribute well in the progress of the building of God's kingdom? Let us also recognize the need, first of all, to remove all that is displeasing in our lives, displeasing to the Lord. And also the areas that we need to concentrate upon in order to develop well in Him. Our Father in Heaven, we come to your presence with thanksgiving and deep gratitude for all that you've done, provided for our lives, your grace, your life, your goodness towards us. We thank you for all that you have in store for our lives. We thank you also for the privilege of having a part in the building of your kingdom. We ask, Father, that you will help us, that we may have a deep sense, strong sense of direction for our lives, that you deepen our conviction to the truth so that we will not be half-hearted, that we may not understand what it means to consecrate our lives fully to you, and to take whatever steps are necessary to remove all the hindrances of our lives, whatever that hinders your working in our lives, and also leaving no ground, no place for the powers of darkness to operate, to take advantage of, and help us to nurture, to deepen, to develop the positive qualities they intend about for us, especially the development of our character and deepening oneness, knowledge of the Lord.